Okay, you will see, honorable members, we are dealing with the briefings from internal briefings. Let me put it like that. One is on the on Glencore as well as the issue of rehabilitations. Two, it's on the same matters. It will be questions of clarity, and then we'll deal with the program after that. And correspondences. We are going to put together the program and the correspondences for one reason. Some of the issues in the correspondences will have an impact on the program of the committee. So without any further delays, let me welcome everyone present in the meeting. After a long time, honorable members will recall that the last time we met, it was almost in the first week or second week of June up until to date. So we've had almost a 3 months non-activity of this committee. We tried our level best during the period to see whether we can't deal with issues of legislative interventions that required our attention. Unfortunately, without success, the matter was that there was nothing urgent at that moment. Subsequently, that there have been quite a number of developments that have taken place. Amongst those were the shocking news of the 8 women that were raped in the, don't want to say disused, in the non-operational mine in Krugersdorp. And it's something that we all condemn with the highest contempt it deserves. The issue of gender-based violence is one of the worst things that the country has to deal with as a pandemic on its own. And this is a matter that we remain seized with, together with our colleagues from police and home affairs, and we are working on mechanisms, because a once-off attendance to the occurrence does not necessarily address the problem. We hope we'll be able to finalize the soonest the issue of a much more broader microscopic view on the challenges brought to society by illegal mining activities. But also, I think it's critical to say we are still seized with many other challenges facing this committee, be it matters that relates to energy and petroleum matters, but also issues that relate to economic growth and other activities. So this committee is one of the busiest in terms of tasks, not choice, that it has to perform. So we hope that we will be able to address many of the challenges that we are faced with, but also we are tasked with. Ari, can we then go straight to the presentations?
Sibu will fly, Chair.
Okay. Sibu, you will do both, ne?
Yes, Chair, I'll do both at the same time.
Okay.
Can you see the presentation, Ari?
Yes.
Yes, Sibu.
Okay, cool. All right. Good morning, honorable members and everybody in the meeting. I'll be presenting on the two issues as mentioned by the chairperson. Just before that, I must just give a bit of a background as to why we are presenting today together with the Parliamentary Legal Services. On 31 May 2022, the committee tasked us, the researcher who was Mr. Maboda at the time, and the Parliamentary Legal Services to develop or to prepare a presentation on how it should attend to the two issues that could potentially affect the investment in the mining and the energy sectors. The two issues referred to being the issue of the mining rehabilitation fund, the alleged misuse thereof, which was triggered by the arrest of the former DMRDG and others, as well as the Glencore bribery case in the US. So the directive was that then after our briefing, the committee would deliberate and decide on the approach it would take on these two issues. So what I'll be presenting now or recommending basically would not necessarily be what the committee would do, but it's merely a guide on or based on research and facts collated on the two matters. So this is just the table of contents. What I'll be talking about, Glencore. Part one will be Glencore, and then I'll be focusing just on the brief background of Glencore, and then highlight if there had been any corrupt activities early when the company was established. And then I'll look at the bribery case, the US, just summarize or cap on what had happened, and then talk about the impact on South Africa of what had happened in the US, given that Glencore operates in our country as well. And then I'll recommend the approach that the committee may or may take in this matter. And then I will talk about the alleged misappropriation of the mining rehabilitation funds. Like I said, it was triggered by the arrest of the former DDGK of the department. However, the focus would broadly be on the mining rehabilitation funds as it relates to that specific matter, but tracing it from when it started in 2016, not focusing per se on the case of the DG, because the case highlighted a bigger problem than what was revealed recently. And then I will just highlight what Parliament's response was to the alleged misuse of the mining rehabilitation funds. As I've indicated, the issue started to be in the media since 2016. There were parliamentary responses on this issue. Then it then resurfaced again now with the arrest of the DDG. And then I'll just highlight some. Also, I'll just indicate some other matters that may be of interest to the committee relating to licensing as well as alleged corruption in some of the offices of the department. And then I'll make recommendations as to what should be done regarding this matter. And then I'll start with Glencore, as I've indicated. I'll just give a brief profile of Glencore. Glencore was established in 1974 by a gentleman called Mark Rich. And the company was called Mark Rich and Company at the time. Mark Rich is no longer, he's no longer with us. May his soul rest in peace. Then in 1993, there was a management buyout from Mark Rich, which resulted in the company being renamed Glencore. As we all know, today Glencore is one of the largest globally diversified natural resource company in the world, and it operates in 35 countries, has presence as well in Africa, Australia, and many other countries, to name just a few. As members know, Glencore has operations in South Africa as well, and it is the majority shareholder of Astron Energy, the former Chevron. Continuing with the profile of Glencore, If one reads about Glencore, from when it was established in 1994, in 1974 up to today, one would agree that the company has grown remarkable. However, there are critics regarding this growth. Some people some argue that the company has been more of a crime syndicate than a business. And then this view is supported by a number of key developments in the history of the industry. As members may have heard or read in the paper, the details of this are in the paper that I wrote. It was reported that Mark Rich, who is the founder, as I've indicated, of Glencore and his partner in business, in 1993, were indicted on 65 criminal counts, including income tax and evasion, wire fraud, racketeering, trading with Iran during oil embargo. So here, the idea is just to indicate that as early as in 1983, there were elements of wrongdoing similar to what had happened in the US. So this was the point that I was trying to bring in here, that something similar had happened as early as in 1983, when the company was still under Mark Rich, who is the founder of the company. So it is believed that the charges that Mark Rich would have convicted of would have led to a sentence of more than 300 years in prison. But however, in January 2001, then the U.S. president granted him a presidential pardon. So of which most people are arguing that there was something fishy about the granting of the controversial presidential pardon. But I wouldn't get into the politics of it. But the point here was just to show that from its genesis, there's been some elements of corrupt activities. Moving on to the U.S. Bribery case, it's just a recap for members. It's been in the news before members went on recess. We had this on the news, the U.S. bribery case. So I'll just read. On 24 May 2022, the U.S. Department of Justice announced charges in two separate criminal cases involving Glencore. And Glencore had pleaded guilty in both charges. The first charge related to the violation of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, such as the bribery of officials. And the second case pertained to the manipulation of fuel prices by Glencore. So regarding the first case, Glencore agreed to pay $700 million in penalties for its wrongdoings, whilst in the second case, it agreed to pay $485 million in penalties. So this translated into a total amount of $1.8 billion, which Glencore had pleaded guilty on. So moreover, Glencore had bribed officials in Nigeria, Cameroon, Ivory Coast, Equatorial Guinea, Brazil, Venezuela, and the DRC, just to name a few. In terms of the case, with the first case, which is the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, the violation thereof by Glencore, I'm just going to go through what the U.S. Justice, Department of Justice said. This is directly from them. But I'll just define what the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act entails just in a paragraph or in a sentence. The Foreign Corrupt Practices Act is a U.S. federal law which was enacted for the purposes of making it unlawful for certain classes of persons or entities to make payments to foreign government officials to assist in obtaining or retaining a business. So that is the purpose of the, of this is the purpose, what I just now shared with you is the purpose of the act. So in light of the first case, then I'll just read as per the actual plea from the Department of Justice of US. So between 2007 and 2018, Glencore and its subsidiaries caused approximately $7.6 billion in payments to be made to intermediary companies in order to secure improper advantages to obtain and retain business with state-owned and state-controlled entities in the West African countries of Nigeria, Cameroon, Ivory Coast, and Equatorial Guinea, as I've mentioned before the list. Glencore concealed the bribe payments by entering into sham consulting agreements, paying inflated invoices, using intermediary companies to make corrupt payments to foreign officials. In Nigeria, Glencore and Glencore UK subsidiaries entered into multiple agreements to purchase crude oil and refined petroleum products from Nigeria's state-owned and state-controlled oil company. Glencore and its subsidiaries engaged two intermediaries to pursue business opportunities and other improper business advantages, including the awarding of crude oil contracts, while knowing that the intermediaries would make bribe payments to Nigerian government officials to obtain such business. And then in the DRC, Glencore admitted that it conspired to and did corruptly offer and paid approximately $27 million to third parties while intending for portion of the payments to be used as bribes to DRC officials in order to secure improper business advantages. Glencore also admitted to the bribery of officials in Brazil, Venezuela. In Brazil, the company caused $147 million to be used in at least part as corrupt payments for Brazilian officials. So basically, this sums up the guilty plea of Glencore, what it had done wrong in the US case. And then moving on to the second case briefly, this one, the second case involved the commodity price manipulation, wherein between January 2011 and 2019, Glencore employees were found to have manipulated two bench price marking assessments regarding fuel and oil prices. As part of the conspiracy, Glencore employees sought to unfairly enrich themselves and Glencore itself by increasing profits and reducing costs on contracts to buy and sell physical fuel, as well as certain derivatives positions that Glencore held. Okay, this was the case, the US case, and then I'll move on to the impact the US case may have on South Africa, or the relationship between Glencore and South Africa, if I may put it differently. As members know and have read the paper and the news, have been following the news as well. South Africa is not listed in one of the countries in the US case as one of the countries that Glencore had conducted corrupt activities in. So there is no evidence at all that the what had happened in the US has happened in South Africa. However, I argue that the guilty pleas do signal a warning for South Africa. Glencore South Africa confirmed that none of the investigations related to its business in South Africa or coal or Austrian business were involved in such corrupt activities. So the Glencore CEO confirmed, the current CEO confirmed that, or stated that this type of behavior has no place in the Glencore of today. But as I've indicated before, I'm saying that what had happened in the US does signal a warning for South Africa, despite the confirmations or the affirmation that this type of behavior does not have a place in the Glencore of today. So that statement may need to be explained further or better. So moreover, Eskom, as members know, Eskom is the main state-owned company that Glencore has done business with in South Africa. But again, an interview was conducted by the ENCA, where the Eskom spokesperson, Sikonathi Mantshantsha, confirmed that there are no investigation with regards to Glencore work at Eskom, and that Eskom is aware that the Competition Commission is doing some work on Glencore's coal and other commodities. He also indicated that there were no allegations against Glencore that came to Eskom. Similarly, the Zondo Commission on the State Capture has also made no adverse findings on Glencore, particularly on issues of corruption, despite some evidence that was presented in this regard. There were also claims of the President of South Africa trying to influence the terms of coal supply deals that the company had with Eskom. Glencore has dismissed and explained these claims. I've articulated this issue on page 7 of the paper, but I can read Glencore's response on the issue of the president. That's for the benefit of people who haven't read the paper. So in response to the allegation of the president being involved or somehow being, influencing the coal supply agreements. So Glencore stated that Mr. Ramaphosa had no direct involvement in the day-to-day operations of Optimum Coal Holdings or Optimum Coal Mines. Mr. Ramaphosa diverted his entire interest in Optimum Coal Holdings on 22 May 2014, prior to him taking office as the president, and prior to his involvement with the Eskom war room. Mr. Ramaphosa, therefore, had no interest in Optimum Coal Holdings following conclusion of the cooperation agreement, and during a period when Optimum Coal Mining and Optimum Coal Holding was negotiating with Eskom regarding potential amendments to the coal supply agreement and extension mm-hmm. to the coal supply agreement. The mm-hmm. suggestion that Glencore involved Mr. Ramaphosa in the acquisition of Optimum Coal Holding. Come again?
No, apologies to interject, Sivu. I just wanted to check through the chairperson that is it not possible for you to flag that as well? What you have it.
All right.
Do you have it in writing to be flighted, or can, if you don't, I hope Mr. Langer, you won't mind. If you don't, can you, in the meantime, as you proceed, find a way to send it to Ayanda or Ari, so that they can transmit it to members.
Okay, Chairperson, I've made reference here. It's on page 7 of the paper that was sent to the members.
Okay. Or
on Tuesday. It's page 7. If members can go to page 7 of the paper.
We do have it.
Yes, sir, you do.
Okay. Can we make reference to that, Honorable Langa?
No, Chairperson.
Okay, thanks. So the final line then in that is that the suggestion that Glencore involved Mr. Ramaphosa in the acquisition of Optimum Coal Holding with a view or with the expectation of leveraging Mr. Ramaphosa's influence to achieve amendments to the coal supply agreement is false and baseless. So this is a direct quotation from Glencore. Members can find it on page 7 of the paper that I produced. Then just to continue, and then the only element of corruption in South Africa involving Glencore had occurred, which is the members would remember the illegal sale of the strategic fuel crude oil. One of the companies that bought that oil was Glencore, but again, the companies that had bought the oil were not found at fault. Rather, the decision taken by SFF and the then Minister of Energy were the main reasons the sale was invalid. So there is no evidence that Glencore had corrupted any corrupt activities in that saying. So the picture painted in this slide, as members can observe or assess, is that there is no wrongdoing in South Africa that Glencore had conducted. But again, I do emphasize the point I made that the guilty pleas do signal a warning to South Africa. I will leave it at that, even though it's clear here that there is no wrongdoings from Glencore's side. Then I move on. So then in conclusion and recommendation on this matter, the title of the paper that members have, I've titled it as Glencore Bribery and Market Manipulation Schemes. Should South Africa be worried? That's the question I posed to myself. So the answer to that is yes, as members may have got the hint where my position, what my position is regarding the issue when I said the what had happened in the US signals a warning to South Africa. So my response to the question is yes. And then I extracted a number of quotes. These are all in the paper. Everything that I'm presenting is in the paper, honorable members. So I've extracted these quotes from various sources as early as in 74, when the company was established. So I'll just read them just to give a picture of how the company is viewed generally. So there are causes, people are saying that the criminality was a key pillar of the company's business model. Glencore paid bribes to secure all contracts. Glencore paid bribes to avoid government audits. Glencore bribed judges to make lawsuits disappear. At bottom, Glencore paid bribes to make money or hundreds of millions of dollars. Glencore was built on the ashes of the trading business created by hedge funding manager Mark Rich, who was charged with 55 counts of fraud and tax invasion in 1983. I've touched on this in the introduction. Bribery was built into the corporate culture of the company. The tone from the top was clear, whatever it takes. So based on the history of the company, it is possible that South Africa is a victim of what has been revealed in the US, although it was not mentioned in the case. Therefore, in this instance, I do recommend that the South African government, through the relevant institutions such as the NPA and SIU, investigate all Glencore operations in South Africa. There might be a potential for criminal activities in South Africa as those found in the US and other countries. So this is where I end regarding Glencore, and members would then deliberate on the way forward, as I've indicated. This is just a guide from our side. With your permission, Chair, then I'll move on to the mining rehabilitation funds. Okay, the next task that I was given was to do some work, background work on the misuse, the misappropriation of the mining rehabilitation funds. As I've indicated, this issue was triggered by the fact that the former DDG of the department, together with the former Target Exploration and Resources Director, Aronika, and others, were arrested in the Randburg Magistrate Court on 25 and 26 May 2022 in the case related to the mining rehabilitation funds and the alleged misuse thereof. So the three and possible more were accused of a number of charges, including fraud, forgery, uttering, perjury, and money laundering related to the rehabilitation funds meant for Optimum Coal Mine and Confontein Mine Trust accounts in 2016. It is alleged that the funds meant for the rehabilitation of the mine were illegally transferred to other companies. The accused were granted bail and were scheduled to return to court on 22 June 2022. I've just checked what the latest info was in this case and found that the case has now been postponed to November 2022 and has been transferred to the South Gauteng High Court in Johannesburg. And the charges in this case were as follows. Ronnie Karavenda and her colleague, Bukesh Govinda, are accused of fraud, money laundering, contravention of local environmental laws. Govinda faced an additional charge of perjury for lying in an affidavit to the NPA Asset Forfeiture Unit. And then the former DDG of the department, Mr. Joel Rapela, is facing charges of fraud, contravention of NEMA and its regulation, as well as forgery and uttering. Moreover, the NPA argues that Mr. Rapela committed an act of fraud, forgery, when he wrote a letter to grant approval to use the Kunfondin Rehabilitation Trust funds without any conditions of access. Therefore, it is possible that it is also important, members, to note that Mr. Rapela, together with the former minister of the DMR, Mr. Zwane, appear in the Zondo Commission report to have facilitated unlawful awarding of tenders or contracts by ESCOM to the Gupta family. Detail on this is provided in the paper, honourable members. But there were no recommendations in this regard from the Zondo in the Zondo Commission report as to what should there was no recommendation on Mr. Zwane and Mr. Rapela on this issue. Then I'll move on. Okay, as I've indicated to the members at the beginning, is that my focus on this issue is I've traced it from when it started in 2016, the mining rehabilitation funds, not necessarily just on the case, on the current case that we are dealing with. So I will now be giving background information in terms of the mining rehabilitation funds as it relates to the case generally, although not specifically the case itself. So in terms of the background, Gupta Companies, Oak Bay Investments and Tekke Exploration Resources acquired Optimum and Kunfondin Mines in around 2015-2016, somewhere there. And Optimum and Kunfondin were managed by Ravindra Nath and Govinda. With the sale of Optimum and Kunfondin Mines, Tekke Exploration Resources took control of the mines rehabilitation trust with a combined worth of 1.8 billion. As I present the numbers, there are different numbers. So there is reference to 1.7 billion, 1.3 billion. 1.5 billion, but I would stick to 1.7 billion. And then Govinda and Nath allegedly started their pillage of the fund to help the Gupta businesses to stay afloat. Ragan and Govinda instructed that 7.5 million be transferred from Optimum Mines of Limited Rehabilitation Trust account to the mines operational account. So into the same account, 9.5 million flowed from Tekke Exploration. Optimum then paid 26.4 million to Clipbank Mining for underground mining services. Services the NPA had nothing to do with the rehabilitation of Optimum Mining area. Then together as the new owner of Kunfondin Mine informed the DMR that all four major banks were in the process of closing their accounts, and for that reason, the trust funds had to be moved. The department agreed as long as legislation was adhered to. Then 280 million in rehabilitation trust funds was moved to Bank of Baroda into an account held by Kunfontein Rehabilitation Trust. Then on 4 May 2016, Tegeta sent a letter to the department signed by NAF requesting approval to use Kunfondin Rehabilitation Trust funds for mining rehabilitation. Then Mr. Joel gave a signed approval and attached a list of conditions. A similar letter also signed by Rapela was handed to the Bank of Baroda where the funds were held, but the NPA argues that the letter only stated that the department grants approval in principle to access the funds held in the account of Kunfontein Rehabilitation Funds. None of the conditions spelled out to the Tegeta were communicated to the Bank of Baroda. That's what the NPA found. Then a month after this exchange of letters, Govender wrote to the Bank of Baroda saying they wish to register a loan facility of 150 million against 250 million deposited in the trust account. The letter stated Ms. Ronika Ragan, in her capacity as the director of the capacity, is hereby authorized to do the needful to give effect to this resolution. The NPA argues that Ragavan was not a trustee of the trust fund and had, in fact, no authorization over the trust funds. The funds were again not used for rehabilitation of the Kunfontein mine area. Then 100 million in trust funds was moved between at least three different bank accounts held at the Bank of Baroda before it was moved to Tegeta's account held at the State Bank of India. From here, four payments totaling 97.8 million were made to Clip Bank Mining, Coal Quarter Mining, and another back to an account held at Bank of Baroda, ultimately into an account held by Tegeta. The original rehabilitation trust fund money in Tegeta was also dispersed to three service providers. So according to the NPA, none of the above was related to the rehabilitation of Kunfontein, but looked more like money laundering. So what I've just summarized now is the case, but looking back as from 2016 when this issue started, not just now. It was just to give a background to the members. And then, as I've indicated, the issues that I've just talked about now, they were reported in the media in 2016, and then wherein Gupta-owned Optimum Coal Mine was brought under spotlight for allegedly transferring around 1.5 billion from its environmental rehabilitation trust fund, which was a breach of the Income Tax National Environmental Management Act and the financial provisions regulating the mining rehabilitation funds. In this regard, there were allegations of political interference, specifically because the then minister of the DMRA, Mr. Zwane, had accompanied Tegeta to Switzerland allegedly to negotiate the deal with the then owners of Glencore, a claim that the minister had denied, of which I have its reference and recorded in the document that members have. So at the time, which is 2016, when these allegations of misuse of the rehabilitation funds were on the spotlight, the DMRA as well issued a statement in which it stated that neither permission nor approval was sought by the holder for the withdrawal of the funds. And as such, the DMRA had not granted approval for withdrawal of the financial provision. Moreover, the DMRA stated that it had advised that in the event of transfer of funds, the holder was to ensure that the funds so transferred are transferred to a financial institution registered with the South African Reserve Bank. The DMRA also emphasized that the funds should remain in the trust as rehabilitation funds cannot be used for any purpose. And then I come to the role of Parliament. What did Parliament do when these allegations of misuse of rehabilitation funds started in 2016, rumors around the issue? Then Parliament responded to the issue through they held committee meetings on the matter, although some committee meetings were not directly focusing on the issue, but questions were asked on the issue, be it in passing or being an actual briefing on the issue. I must emphasize that the meetings were not were portfolio committee, various portfolio committee meetings, not necessarily meetings of the portfolio committee on mineral resources at the time. Secondly, members asked questions to the minister or the department in the House through questions. So one question was asked by a chairperson of a particular portfolio committee in 2017. So the chairperson asked, how can we complain about insufficient funds and yet approve? The chairperson said, information already in the public domain around the utilization of the rehabilitation funds of around 1.3 billion. I've indicated to members that there's many different numbers. 1.3 billion comes in now. There was 1.5 before, then 1.8, and then 1.7 will come as well. So, or information already in the public domain is that rehabilitation funds of around 1.3 billion that was approved by the DMRA to be transferred from Standard Bank to the Bank of Baroda for the rehabilitation of the controversial Optimum coal mine, while it will only be mined out about in 2030. So the chairperson asked, how can we complain about insufficient funds and yet approve such transfers? So the question was on the mining rehabilitation funds that I've just talked about before. So the response from the then DDG of DMRA was that the matter was responded to in the media, and that the DMRA now, did not issue approval for such a transfer, and that in terms of the law, the DMRE understands clearly the purpose of such funds. And then more questions were asked by Parliament through the various platforms that I've just highlighted above. On the same issue, on 8 June 2017, a series of questions were posed to the then Minister of Mineral Resources, Mr. Zwane, by members of Parliament. The questions were, what is the total amount of money set aside for the rehabilitation of the Optimum Colliery as at the latest date, for which information is available? And in which forms have the monies been set aside? And where are the monies kept? And then the question was also that whether the specific amount has changed since 1 April 2016 to date. If so, what are the relevant details? So the then minister of the department, Mr. Zwane, responded that according to the company records, there is an amount of 1.5 billion. It's in the trust fund in the Bank of Baroda. Regarding the second question, the response was that according to the company records, the amount has not changed. However, the amount may likely change due to interest accrued on maturity date. And then more questions were asked on this matter by Parliament on 25 August 2017. A question was asked whether his department has opened an investigation into the money that has allegedly disappeared from the rehabilitation funds for Optimum Colliery and Confounding Colliery in the process of the transfer of those colliers from Glencore to Tegeta Exploration and Resources. If not, why not? If so, what was the outcome of the investigation? And what steps has his department taken in relation to the outcome of the investigation? The response of the minister was that no investigation was instituted. The company has provided the department with financial statements indicating the availability of funds for rehabilitation, which was moved from Standard Bank to the Bank of Baroda. And then I continue with what Parliament did. So the above responses of the minister to Parliament, as well as the media statements by the DMRA on the issue of the mining rehabilitation funds, implies that the department had done nothing untoward regarding the funds. However, it is now interesting or strange that the former DMR DG is being arrested for something that is directly related to the same issues that the department administrators had responded that there was nothing wrong in terms of the rehabilitation funds that were used and the questions that were asked by Parliament during parliamentary proceedings. So also the contrary to the above responses of the department, it is stated in the Zondo Commission report that shortly after the change of control of Optimum Coal Mine to Tegeta was announced, the bank was asked by Ms. Raghavan of Okbai to transfer some 1.7 billion held in Standard Bank account on behalf of a trust which held the rehabilitation fund for the Optimum Mine to Okbai. The bank required the approval of the trustees of this trust to approve the transfer. New trustees were then forthwith appointed, and these new trustees approved the transfer of the mining rehabilitation fund to Okbai. The bank continued to resist the transfer on the ground that the permission of the Minister of Mineral Resources was required, and then the minister duly gave his permission for the transfer. The bank then terminated its provision of transactional services to Okbai. And then other matters that may of interest to the committee that I thought I must bring to the attention of the committee as well is that in 2018, the department had closed the offices in Mpumalanga and Limpopo regional offices to tackle the allegations of corruption and manage the licensing backlog issues. In addition, an investigative team to look into these allegations was appointed and to report to the minister's office. The findings of this investigations report of this investigative report has not been made available to the public or parliament. The suspects were under investigation related to gross levels of corruption and abuse of power in the offices. I'm bringing this in because there is somewhat a direct link between the mine, what I've just presented, and corrupt activities that had occurred in the past. So this is where I end in terms of the mining rehabilitation funds. In terms of the recommendations, as I've stated above, allegations of the misuse of the mining or rehabilitation funds started as early as in 2016 during the sale of the Optimum Coal Mine. At the time, concerns were raised in the media and in Parliament. I've just said that through questions to the minister and questions to the department senior officials during committee meetings. However, the department reported to have had everything under control, and as such, there was nothing untoward regarding the funds. They were safely in the bank, according to the responses of the department. And then with the revival of this issue by the NPA 6 years on, the opposite seems to be true. Therefore, therefore I recommend that the committee should request the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy to come and account to Parliament on this issue of the mining rehabilitation funds, as it particularly relates to the Optimum and Koenfontein mines. This is in addition to the request the committee has made that the department brief it on the status of the mining rehabilitation funds. As members would remember, we have a standing item in the program on this, that the department should come and brief the committee on the status of the mining rehabilitation funds. So coupled with that, then the department could be asked to come address the committees on the same issues of the mining rehabilitation funds. And then on the issue of the investigation that I've highlighted, then I recommend that the committee request the department to submit and present to it the outcomes of the investigation on the allegation of corruption and management of licensing backlog in the Mpumalanga and Limpopo regional offices, and the recommendations emanating from the investigation, as well as the implementation thereof. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and members. I'll end at that. Thanks.
Joseph, I forgot to say something. Is Ayanda and Ari, is Mrs. Kiba here?
No, sir.
Okay, because she's not here, let me do her job. Honorable members, I forgot. I thought I was going to start with that. Mr. Mabota, I hope I'm correct. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Is now our content advisor, but we'll hope we'll speak to Mrs. Kima to come and tell us his responsibilities as the content advisor. But he is now, Mr. Mabota, he is now the content advisor, no longer the researcher for NH. That's the new post that he has. But having said so, can we first deal with the Glencore matter, honorable members? Then we will come to the actual matter that relates to that relates to rehabilitation funds as well as the license. Can I get a take, honorable members, on the Glencore matter? I see the hand of Honorable Lorema. Is there any other hands? Going one, two, Honorable Madogwe, Honorable Malinga, Honorable Kula, Honorable Volmarans. Okay, let's do it like this. It will be Honorable Lorema, Honorable Madogwe, Honorable Malinga, Honorable Kula, and then Honorable Volmarans. I'll come after all of you.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Can I begin?
Yes.
Okay. I first of all like to say that I think Mr. Mabota has done generally very good work with these reports. And on his report on Glencore, I think it's excellent in everything but the conclusions and recommendations. Because on the grounds that we don't have the resources, it essentially says that we as the committee can do nothing. But I don't think we can just throw up our hands. We have so little information on this, and I think we should be informed about more about Glencore.
Honorable Lorema.
Yes.
I think I might have done a disservice. Please, you know, you are still number one on the list. Can I check? I should have checked with legal services. Do you... Is there any matter so that when we deal holistic? Can you bear with me, please, honorable members? Will you allow me?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Mr. Chair.
Can I check with legal services so that when we do a comment, we don't go on the matters and then legal services come back later and say, no, you can't do 1, 2, and 3. Can I give legal services? Please, I apologize. It was from my side. I didn't think at that time. If you agree with me, honorable members, if there's an objection, I can take it. But can I give legal services first?
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, and good morning to my colleagues as well. Honorable Chairperson, I think my colleague who spoke before me has painted the context so beautifully. And I think if I say anything in relation to that, I will be spoiling the broth. Chairperson, you will recall that you had requested us as legal services to provide an opinion on the committee processes in relation to legal proceedings against Glencore and the former DDG of the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy. And I think your opinion, sir, was quite pointed in the sense that you asked us two questions. The first one being on Glencore's admission and guilty plea to its vast network of corruption in the US, UK, Latin America, and in some other parts of the African continent. As my colleague has previously indicated, Glencore has got a footprint in South Africa as well. But also the cardinal issue, which I think speaks to what Honorable Lorima was about to say, is that the cardinal issue is, are the committee's hands tied under the circumstances, particularly in view of the fact that there is no evidence from the guilty plea of Glencore that its vast network of corruption found expression in South Africa. I'll be brief, Chair. They say brevity is the soul of wit. I'll go straight to paragraph 9, Chair, of our opinion, which says that Section 55(2) of the Constitution imposes a duty on the National Assembly to provide for mechanisms to hold the National Executive to account. And this finds expression in Rule 2271B of the Rules of the National Assembly. This Portfolio Committee Chair must maintain oversight of any executive organ of state falling within its portfolio. We deal with the first question, Chair, in paragraph 12 and 13 of our opinion. On the first question, Chair, as to what approach should the committee take to address the issue of Glencore, in light of the fact that it is an international company that is operating in the mining sector in South Africa, we say on the facts provided to us, there is no evidence that Glencore's network of corruption found expression in South Africa. Glencore is a public company and not an organ of state. Hence, even if the committee wanted to inquire into the admission of guilt by Glencore, the committee would not be empowered to summon witnesses to produce documents and give evidence without linking the inquiry to oversight of an organ of state in respect of Glencore in South Africa, including wrongdoing in awarding mining rights or licenses to Glencore. Notwithstanding the above, Chair, we say the committee should, as part of its oversight function over the Minister of Mineral Resources and Energy, schedule a meeting with the minister to consider a review of all Glencore mining licenses and contracts awarded by the DMRE in South Africa. In this regard, the committee could also recommend to the minister that such a review should be conducted by an independent body or entity that possesses forensic capacity to ascertain that due process has indeed been followed. Now, as regards the second question, Chair, regarding the alleged misappropriation of the mining rehabilitation funds, we deal with our response, Chair, in paragraphs 15, 16, and 17 of our opinion. We say the committee is not in any way restricted if it wishes to undertake a review of governance functions at the DMRE regarding the alleged misappropriation of the mining rehabilitation funds by the former DDG and any other official for that matter, even if it overlaps with the issue before the court. The committee is also empowered to call upon the minister to account and report about the governance lapses related to the alleged misappropriation of funds. However, Chair, we make the point that Section 165(1) of the Constitution states that the judicial authority of the Republic is vested in the courts. That section goes further and provides that the courts are independent and subject only to the Constitution and the law, which they must apply impartially and without fear, favor, or prejudice. Given the fact that the former DDG has already been charged and his alleged criminal conduct is currently being processed by our courts, our advice is for the committee to allow the legal process to run its course. The committee is not precluded in any way from performing its functions merely because this concerns a matter before the courts. In fact, just because the matter is before our courts does not relieve the committee of its oversight obligations. We then give the advice chair and say, in view of the above, it is our opinion that on the issue of Glencoe, the committee is at will to schedule a meeting with the minister and to call on the minister to undertake a review of all Glencoe mining licenses and contracts awarded by the DMRE in South Africa. The committee is also at liberty to recommend to the minister that such a review should include a forensic investigation by an independent body. The committee is not in any way restricted if it wishes to undertake a review of governance issues at the DMRE regarding the alleged misappropriation of the mining rehabilitation funds by the former DDG and any other official for that matter, even if it overlaps with the issues before the court. However, the alleged criminal conduct of the DDG should best be left to the courts to settle. We so advise, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay. Is there any additions? Okay. In the absence, there it is. Sorry, Honorable Rima and Honorable Members that I've mentioned on the list, Honorable Madogwe, Malinga, Kula, and Volmaras. There it is. I'm allowing you, Honorable Lorema, to start afresh. And then according to the list I mentioned, I will come at the end.
Thanks, Mr. Chair.
For now, let's deal with the Glencoe, and we'll come to the rehabilitation and the issue of the licensing. Let's deal with Glencoe for now.
Right, Mr. Chair. Well, I have been to a certain extent covered by the legal advice that a review be taken of Glencore's operations. I like the idea that it be conducted by an independent entity with forensic capacity. I think it should be a far-ranging review.
Honorable Mashauli, we don't want to hear the side news. Continue, Honorable. We don't want to hear the side news, Honorable Mashauli.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'll continue. I believe this kind of review of Glencore's operations should be limited not only to the mining rights and the conditions under which they were granted, but also details of inspections and levels of compliance with the conditions attached to those rights that they have. I think we should include a list of all health, safety, environmental and other violations that have been reported by Glencore and actions taken by the department to put them right. I would think that we should also see a list of all inspections, regular and otherwise, carried out on each of those licenses. I think we should also ask that there be a list of complaints received by the department, if any, I'm sure there have been some, against any operations of Glencore, and a report back from the department as to what they have done about each of those complaints. Otherwise, I think, Mr. Chair, the legal advice is good. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Greetings to everyone that's in the meeting. I also want to welcome the report. I think it's quite informative. I might have missed it in my my emails, but I would have actually appreciated also the report from legal services so that we can actually go through it prior to the meeting. But nonetheless, I actually also do agree that there must be investigation on Glencore, and whether we are investigating Glencore itself or the organs of state that have been interacting with the company. But where there is smoke, there is fire, and therefore we cannot then take it for granted that because there has been no investigation in South Africa and there have been no findings in South Africa, that there have not been any wrongdoing by the company. over and above that, I think that whether South Africa was spared from the corruption and the bribery, it does not take away from the fact that Glencore has admitted on an international platform. It has also been found guilty on an international platform to be a company that has involved itself in wrongdoings. It is a company that is corrupt. It is a company that has done all these things. And perhaps as South Africa, we need to actually interrogate whether we as a country would want to associate ourselves with such a company, would want to allow such a company to operate in our shores, considering the fact that we have actually as a country as well taken a strong stance against corruption in whatever form that it should be finding itself. And also, we must also take into consideration that Glencore as a company is actually to a certain extent operating in our shores, and therefore to a certain extent they should be held accountable to the country on all their activities. So the investigation, I agree that it should not just be on the mining licenses, but on every operation that Glencore has done. We must actually have a thorough investigation. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to your good self, members of the portfolio, and everybody on call. Chairperson, let me also join the chorus in welcoming the presentations both from our newly appointed content advisor and the legal team. Chair, I think it was the first slide that Mr. Mabota started with to show the corrupt nature of the company Glencore. You ask yourself what kind of a president will pardon people who have 65 criminal charges. Then you go and ask yourself what is so special about Glencore that even presidents will pardon them for racketeering and evasion of tax. Chair, I also welcome the slide on recommendations by Mr. Mabota that DMRE should come before the portfolio and outline all these shenanigans of Glencore, Chair. Chair Pestini, I think it was still on his report on the Zondo Commission that the former Minister of DMR and former Minister of Energy. You know, with the Zondo Commission, I don't know how this judge dealt with some people, whether they were names that were thrown to him to attach charges or what, because you can't have a former minister who such corrupt activities happened, but the very same step capture is mum on the remedial or corrective measures that he has brought us to this. Chair, I welcome the fact that a separate body or independent body should be appointed to look into everything or the business of Glencore, Chair. Let me submarine there. I will come back on the issue of rehabilitation. Thank you very much, Chair.
Chair, can I get in?
Yes, it's you. After you is Mr. Vormaras.
No. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to you, Chair, colleagues in the Portfolio Committee, Legal Service of Parliament, and senior management from the Department, Chair. Let me start first, Chair, by welcoming the presentation. I believe that it is an extensive presentation that will be able to help this committee to arrive at the proper decision. So firstly, looking at the issue of Glencore, one can tell with the presentation around Glencore that there are serious challenges around this company and how it does
its business. And I must say, Chairperson, that I concur with Mama Linga on some of the things that she has said. But my major concern is that, one, I understand that there is what we call an institutional culture which characterizes these companies. For me, it is near impossible that there would be Glencore doing this in America and Glencore South Africa doing something different. Because they operate based on an institutional culture that what is done here also has to be done there. I think what is shortchanging us is that there's not been an extensive investigation done in this country around Glencore and many of its operations. How has it acquired its licenses? How is it doing its business? Whether does it comply with all the necessary regulations which it must comply with? So I don't think that such an extensive investigation has been done. But if we were to look into the advice given by legal service, which I'm saying that I think I concur with colleagues in the portfolio committee that we should build our way forward around that on what approach should the committee take to address the issue of Glencore. I think I am sufficiently covered, Chair, by point number 18, which says, in view of the above, it is our opinion that on the issue of Glencore, the committee is at will to schedule a meeting with the minister and call on the minister to undertake a review of all Glencore mining licenses and contract awarded to it by the DMRE in South Africa. The committee is also at liberty to recommend to the minister that such a review should include a forensic investigation by an independent body or entity. I think if we were to use this advice by legal service, we would then be able to do our job as members of parliament to hold the executive on all other institutions to account. So I think that I would say that I think we should move along those lines, Chairperson. Then we'd be doing justice to deal with this matter of Glencore to our full satisfaction. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me greet you and greet all the other honorable members, colleagues, and people from the department. Chair, from the onset, let me welcome the report. The brief is quite comprehensive. I think a lot of work has gone into the information that is at hand. It gives you a background, a fully fledged background of what Glencore is all about, how it started, where it is today. I think it is a good researched document. Chair, in this report, we find that Glencore and its operations, the culture that has got into it, we found that they have been found guilty in other jurisdictions. They have acceded and accepted to pay fines in recent times for the same allegations and guilty findings that have been put thrust upon them. So it's a huge acknowledgement, even if it's not in our jurisdiction in South Africa. Now, we have not been investigated, or this country, or there has not been any investigation nor any findings relating to anything from Glencore in South Africa. Now, I was going to ask, as Mr. Lorima started, what would be our legal standing in instituting this? Won't it be seen as a fishing expedition to try to find and see what can be done without anything being put on the table? But I was satisfied with the that the Andile's remarks on the advice from legal. However, I want to check, and I'm satisfied that it does not preempt us from or prevent us from asking questions and so on, but our hands, what I find is that our hands are tied under the current situation. Being as it may, Chair, I want to find out from the department, having heard, seen all these acknowledgements, guilty findings, and fines, as a department, Glencore is doing business with us as a department. Has it not appeared, or has it happened, where you say, all right, let us stop here as a department and write or call Glencore and say, Glencore, you are doing business with us, but you are hearing and seeing X, Y, Z on this big company that is doing business to us in the same way that they would have traveled to Switzerland and so on. What is your take on it? Because it might have an effect on us as a country, or it might be so that we can get Glencore what they say, whether they say something positive or negative, but we have something to start on and say, at least we had at some stage written a letter to find out, in light of the developments in other jurisdictions, what is their take with regard to their operations and so on. That is notwithstanding all the other issues that might have happened, like your normal inspections, your safety arena, and all those. Just from the department to say, what are you doing about this matter? So I wanted to check if the department has gone that route. And then if the department has gone that route or has not gone that route, where does it leave us with regard to an item that I saw on the report where Glencore is being investigated, or there's an issue around the question of its coal and so on, and where we could be taking advantage of that in order to find out what is happening with Glencore on our shores here. My take was one on the legality and what the department has done after hearing and seeing what is happening to Glencore elsewhere, and that might trigger a deeper investigation from ourselves. I also accept the fact there is a need for the meeting with the minister with regards to Glencore. Thanks, Chairperson.
Okay. Before I come in, can I check where is there any comment, Mr. Mabota or Andy Land, your team, you want to make on the comments? But I want to put something at the end of the day and see whether we can agree.
No, I have no comment from my side. I think I'm covered by members.
Legal services?
No. I've got no comment, Chair. I think that's for
Honourable members, can we agree that we must invite the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy to give account on the issue that you have raised with regards to Glencore and the questions, I think, from Legal Services and Mr. Mabota will be the broad guidelines with regards to this matter. Two, agree then subject to that submission by the department, we may consider, amongst other things, receiving. You see, the problem with the Glencore is that you can't close it when it is in the public domain, except if you give space to those who might hold some information. I think, Honorable Lorema, you will agree with me, when the committee in the Fifth Parliament was told to put hold on its inquiry, there was a confident expectation that the Zondo Commission would deal with some of these issues, and it quite clearly it has not done so. And therefore, there is a potential that this committee may have, and I'm not saying it will, may have now to revisit that which it was committed to do. So maybe let's agree with what if members agree, let's agree that we must invite the minister, and subject to the presentation by the minister, the committee must consider whether to what Honorable Vormaranzi is saying, it will go into now deeper and inner details on the operations and activities of Glencore in the South African market, both minerals and energy space. Will that not be sufficient that we first call the minister, subject to the presentation by the minister, the committee must formulate its attitude on the matter with regards to the operations and activities of Glencore in South Africa. Can I get your comments on that? I see, is it an old hand, Honorable Kwa? I see the hand of Honorable Pula and Honorable Norima. Is there any other hand? Okay, Honorable Kula. Is it an old hand? Okay, Honorable Kula has disappeared. Honorable Norima?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Whereas I'm always pleased to hear the minister's take on things, I don't think we even still need to wait for that before we decide that we need to a full accounting on Glencore's operations. So I'm just putting that on record. It's fine to hear from the minister, but I don't think we should make calling for a thorough investigation contingent on that appearance.
So do I get you to be saying that from here, the both legal services and the committee section, they must start to open up for public submissions or what? I may not have a word. I want you to be concrete, to say, whilst you are calling the minister, are you saying on the other side, let's look for public comments on the issue, if there are any, there's any info that people would have on the operations of Glencore within the South African both minerals and energy markets?
I think that'd be a very valuable step. I mean, of course, it becomes moot if we can, you know, get the minister here in the next 2 weeks. You know, then that's fine. We can go ahead as you suggested. But what I don't want is for this to
You are saying let's run those processes and watch while we are dealing with the minister at the same time. Let's try and collate whether is there any concerns or complaints or whatever that we get, so that by the time we finish with the minister, we also have got some intake on what is the general view. Will I be getting you correct?
Yeah, that's let's say
we give a month for people to make comments, and then so that the staff works on a program to say from let's say if they make an I don't want to say they can guide us also to say an advert, but if they give us, let's say from the 1st of, make an example, September to the 31st or 30th of September, we are looking for public comments. Will I be getting you correctly on that?
I think you phrased it excellently, Mr. Chair. At the same time, though, while that month is going on, can we ask the department to draw us up a full accounting of Glencore's operations, rights, all the licensing processes, dates, areas, complaints that they've dealt with, and so on, so that we have something to work off from our side.
Okay, I get you. Honorable members, Honorable Malinga, I know Honorable Kula will tell me what is back. I assume it's a leak, I say, that one.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was going through my road, and there is a slide on the Mpumalanga and Limpopo what licensing thing.
We're coming to that one.
Oh, we're coming to that one. Oh,
yeah, I was just dealing with Glencore now. There is a proposal on the table that we invite the minister to give a broad presentation on the activities of Glencore as far as licensing is concerned, whilst at the same time we are saying that from a committee point of view, we give a one-month period submission from the public on the activities of Glencore that we would want to share with the committee. So that is the proposal that is sitting now. I was checking that. Then we'll go to the next matter on the presentations, on the activities of with regards to rehabilitation funds and the licensing regime.
Chair?
Mamaling?
Are we saying if we are asking for submissions from the public, we don't trust what the department and the minister are going to bring on the activities of Glencore? Is that the reason why we will be submissions?
No, I thought the committee says to fast track the process so that you don't listen to the from the minister and then we say, are there any other comments we may get? The committee was saying, the proposal was saying at the same time, we get the comments from the public and then the committee will be able to make an informed decision on the basis of what it has at its disposal, whether to pursue the matter further or to close the matter on the basis of what it has at its disposal. I thought that's what you were saying in the deliberations we were having.
All right, Chair.
So the committee will only make its informed decision based on that. Can we get guidance then administratively from you yourselves, both Ayanda, Ari, as well as legal services? What would be the best legal way to handle it? Okay, before that, I see the hand of Honorable Vilmaras.
Chair, sorry, just a short one, Chair. I hear the proposal that is on the table, but I've got a small concern. I think, as you say, the legal would advise. If we request or we ask public comments and so on, whilst we are also dealing with the department, I'm covered 100%. Won't it look like, from a public perspective, and or from Glencore itself, that we are so desperate and we are trying to canvass something that will result into an investigation. Rather deal with the department so that the department can inform us, and if the need arises, we can go into the committee. But if we involve the committees, the communities now, it looks like we are desperate in trying to get something. It's just a concern. I might be wrong and I would be advised, Chairperson.
I don't want to. Mamali, is your hand still up?
No,
the Lucas one. Okay, look, I don't know. I don't want to sound like I'm doing. From where I'm sitting, I thought members were saying we will see when we go to the progress. We're saying with the magnitude of work that we are having, and the fact that from the submission of Mr. Mabota, that's what members will say. From the submission of Mr. Mabota with regards to the Zondo Commission, is that the matter with regards to Glencore operation would have anticipated that it would arise from that commission, and it does not arise. It means the committee is back to square one. Now, I thought the submission was saying, whilst we wait, main submissions will be from the department. Looking at the magnitude of work, but we can do that, honorable members, and then say let's give the department then decide at the time of the submissions by the minister and the department, what next to follow? The question will be, or I forgot also to say this thing, by the way. We made a mistake. Let's accept when we made a mistake. We have got a letter, if I'm not mistaken, I know from the House Chair, that has been sent to us on what are we doing and how are we dealing with the issue of Glencoe. And the response we gave was that the committee will be dealing with the matter in its first committee meeting, which is today. I forgot to say that. So it is not only a matter of the committee. It's a matter of the interest of the of Parliament, because I think the Speaker has also raised the issue with the House Chair. So from here, we also need to go back to the House Chair and the Speaker. So I thought the submission by members was that, yes, we will listen to the department, but at the same time, concurrently, we in fast-tracking this process, we are saying if there is any person who has got any other information, it's not fishing, is to say when the committee makes its informed decision whether to pursue the matter or not, at least it will be based on what it is presented in front of it, rather than to say when the minister has presented and then say, can we see whether is there any other information we can get, and then give another period to listen to submissions. It was saying, put everything together, make a decision. When those submissions are made, and the department would have made another decision, no, but there is no need to pursue this matter because there is nothing factual that we are getting, except that is all what we get now is people who are suspicious or who are generalizing the activities, unlike in many of these countries that were mentioned here. Honorable Volnarans.
No, Chair. In light of what you just mentioned regarding the letter and coming from the House Chair with regard to Glencoe specifically, I therefore reserve the comments earlier because the letter and the request on what we are doing about Glencoe then changes the thought that I had in my mind, and I withdraw that first comment, Chair.
Okay. In fact, by the way, can we flight that letter? Even if we're not going to read, that's for the sake of members. Is it possible now?
Okay, Chair, we're looking for it. We'll flight it.
Okay, can we say in the meantime, whilst we are just generally in principle, let me get your comments also, legal services and Mr. Mabota, probably even the committee secretariat. Is it possible to do all those simultaneously and agree that within 2 weeks from now, we request the minister to come and make submissions on any activities that involves Glencoe within the sector where we are in? I'm sure you got the questions. Anything, Mr. Dejan?
Morning, Chair and honourable members. Chair, I would take a cautious approach, but of course, I mean the committee is at wit to proceed. But my point is, Chair, I mean, the department, Chair, the minister accounts to Parliament, and of course, this committee exercises oversight over the executive and over the department. So my point here is that it seems as if already we are on the investigation domain. In other words, we are on the formal inquiry domain. And I think, sir, in my view, there's no reason on the table yet to second guess what the department is going to say. So, sir, my submission would be that, my view, sir, would be that the committee first speaks with the minister, you know, and the department, and having heard from them, then try to way forward. That's my view, sir. But of course, the committee can proceed, sir, in whatever way it deems fit. Thanks, sir.
Secretariat, we are dealing with the administrative matters now. Okay, can we then resolve on that with that we will invite the department, and then from that meeting with the department, the committee will decide what will be the way forward on handling this matter. Can we agree on that, honorable members? It means within 2 weeks, when we deal with the program, please take into cognizance that within 2 weeks, we'll be inviting the department. It means we look at how do we prioritize our program. Is that agreed?
Yes, Chair.
Okay.
In order, Chair.
Okay. Then, Ari and Ayanda, just for the sake of expediency, be ready that when the committee, if it takes a decision, be ready to set up a process immediately. Just if it doesn't, that would be fine. If it does, just be ready to set up the process, because you will see when we deal with the program that the high level of congestion spilling over to the final leg of this year. Okay, can we deal with the issue now with regards to the rehabilitation and licensing? Very quickly, I see the hand of Honorable Lorima. I take it that the hand of Honorable Pula is a legacy one. And then Honorable Malinga, Honorable Matogwe, in that fashion.
Thanks, Chair. On the issue of the rehabilitation funds, I think legal has given us good advice on us asking to see the report into the corruption at the Mpumalanga and the Popo regional offices. That's the internal report. I think it'd be very valuable for us to see. Secondly, I'd like to underline the idea that we should get a full briefing on the general state of rehabilitation funds. I think that's long overdue. But thirdly, I would like to ask the department to give us an update on what's happening specifically at Optimum and at Shiva Uranium. These business rescue processes seem to be going on forever. There seems to be no change in what's going on. I do know that at Shiva, there's still workers sitting unpaid. And that's now 4 years, more than 4 years. They're owed money. And in the meantime, that Shiva mine is being slowly stripped of any value that it has. And we've seen this happen before. We've just been to the West Rand, where we've seen what happened at Mintails, where the one company stopped mining. And then there's this mysterious resumption of mining under certain special circumstances. And what it means also is a huge opportunity for illegal miners to move in. So Mr. Chair, I'd like to make that request for that briefing specifically on those former Gupta-owned mines. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yes, Omade.
I'm saying thank you very much, Chair. I Lorima has taken my point. I really would like to let the department, I'd really like the department to submit the report, especially on the Mpumalanga and Limpopo corruption issues, alleged corruption issues in regards to the licensing regime in those two regions, Chair. Also, Chairperson, the same point that you stepped off on the issue of Optimum. You remember when we took our last oversight, there was a business a rescue practitioner there. So we don't have a report on how far the process has been, because labor was really up in arms about not getting their salaries shared. Chairperson, also all the issues regarding or pertaining to the rehabilitation funds, I think is going to assist us a lot if the department can explain as to if it's a normal practice, especially for the ones in, I think was it Oak Bay, where they wanted 1.7 billion, it's Oak Bay, to be transferred. Then new trustees are appointed to facilitate that. Maybe if the department can clarify if that is a normal practice, that when you want to move funds, you need to just assemble some shenanigans or unknown trustees, then the money is transferred and the beneficiaries are left without being paid. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think I want to welcome the report or this section of the report as well, and the inputs from our members of parliament. I think the one thing that I want to stress the most, or that I want to highlight, I think it's on the issue of the former DDG and the case around that, because my understanding is that this was brought before the department before. And the department did say that no, there was nothing wrong, or they did allude to that there was nothing wrong or something worth investigating. And it is only now that we're actually raising this conversation again, because there is now a criminal case that has been opened, and the former DDG and other people are before court. And I think it is important that perhaps we really need to reflect and to a certain extent get some accountability in terms of how is it that the department gave the green light and said, no, everything is under control. And then years later, we are seeing people being taken to court and being held accountable by the courts. And over above that, we have a responsibility as the committee to do oversight, and whether that oversight was not perhaps done properly previously by the department and perhaps by that committee. I think we do have a responsibility as this committee to make sure that there are investigations that are done, notwithstanding that the case is before the courts, but there must be something that is done by ourselves, not only now on the case, but why the department had given the green light and said everything was under control then. And I think on the mining rehabilitation funds, I also want to support that we need a much more comprehensive report, where we're actually given a report in terms of what exactly is happening with these funds in South Africa, which mines, what is the status of the funds really, and what are the procedures in terms of when people need to use the funds and all those things. Because we're also sitting with a challenge as the committee and the department as well, where there are all these mines that need to be rehabilitated and all these mines that need to be closed. And we are getting reports that there aren't enough funds, or there are these challenges and those challenges. And perhaps we then need to find out what exactly is happening and what can be done to make sure that rehabilitation of mines is done properly, and we do not find ourselves 5 years, 10 years down the line with another backlog and serious money that no one can really pay, or that no one can really provide, so that mines are rehabilitated or closed properly. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay. So I take it that the committee one says the department must come and make presentations on the status of the rehabilitation funds. Two, give a feedback on the internal investigation on the status of the backlog on licensing. investigations with regards to the train, because we must say, why are we leaving three provinces, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, I think, and Northwest, and what action has been taken with regards to that to that report. The third leg, I think, is what Honorable Madoba says. It says, I hope I get it correct to say, based on the fact that the report given gave assurance that there was no hint or potential corruption or would take place with regards to the issue of the rehabilitation funds, in light of the arrests that include the highest, one of the highest in the executives, what recourse does this committee therefore sought or seek from the executive in terms of accountability? Can we deal with that? Those three issues that the department will have to account to as we invite them. Is that what I get, honorable members? Mama Tom, is it legal?
That's my understanding, Chair, as well.
Okay, so you are seconding the views of the rest combined.
Yes, Chair. I also second. I have read the two reports. I think the committee is taking the correct direction.
Okay. You hear my secretariat?
Sorry, Chair?
Do you hear what members are saying?
Yes, Chair, we've got it.
Okay. So two things now. It means, if possible, the department must come and present on two things. The first one will be on Glencore. The second one will be on the rehabilitation. It can happen in the same meeting, on the rehabilitation funds, as well as the issue of the licensing backlog, including the internal investigation by the department and the actions thereof. Lastly, accountability on the commitments made by the executive, regardless who is in office now. I think that's the summary of what this committee says. Can we go then to the next item, Ari and Ayanda?
Is it the program, Chair, or the correspondences?
Let's deal with the correspondences first. Or we can table, let's reflect the program, so that when we amend, we know what program do we have. Yeah.
Okay, Chair, I will flag the program.
Let me get it quickly, Chair.
Okay, honourable members, there is the program. That is where we are today. And then we've got the 30th, which is next week, on deliberations, which is a clause by clause. And we still continue on Friday, the 2nd. And then we still continue on Tuesday, the 6th. Friday the 9th, it means we are dealing with legislation up until
the 16th day.
Up until the, no.
20th.
Up until the 20th. On the 20th, we're dealing with what we just finished now. I think I read that. Let's add the issue of Glencore. We may have then to reconsider that, okay, the report is not a big deal. Don't forget the on the rehabilitation funds to include the issue of the internal investigations on the three provinces. Nana, it will be under your mining rehabilitation fund. We just agreed on it.
Can you just repeat that again, sir?
The internal investigation report on Mpumalanga, Limpopo and the Northwest. That's why I was saying we must, we'll see now how busy is going to power schedule. Right through, honorable members, we still have got a joint meeting that we agreed with, we are supposed to meet with transport and finance. Is there any matter that members, for now, I suggest that we don't? We don't just agree broadly because we can only adopt or finalize the program when we have dealt with the correspondence. And I think it's important that we take members through when it comes to the correspondence. Okay, that is generally what it is. Can you go through ARE up until the last day? Yeah, our last day will be the 27th of September, which will be on a Tuesday. Can we go then to the next matter? The correspondence. Can we get the correspondence? I honorable members, there is a correspondence. I want us to just flag the correspondence. There is one correspondence from Makua, and I think we will send it every activity or correspondence we have had with Makua to yourselves. I just think that it will be important just to give a background when it comes to Makua, but can we deal with other correspondences?
Okay, thank you, sir.
Makua one is aside, I will deal with it when we table it as a last one.
Apologies, members. My voice is not as good today. I've got a flu. But I will just share, this is the tracking, the correspondences that we received from June up until August during the recess period. I also shared the actual content list. This one is just a summary of from which date we received it. On the 29th, Chair, we received from Thabang Matema, who was complaining about the office, the MRE office in Polokwane. He's got an appeal that he sent it to the DG, so he copied to the committee. And it should be noted, Chair, most of these correspondences were sent it to the speaker, and the speaker sent it back to the committee for deliberating on them and then report. And then on the, there's also the report from the Office of Institutions Supporting Democracy. This report is coming from the high-level panel chair on the inquiry on the impact of rural land use and ownership patterns on human resources. So the committee is expected to look in that report and report to the speaker. And then Makua, as you have said, Chair, there's quite a lot of correspondences between yourself and Makua. Then maybe you will go through after I'm done with this. And then on the 5th of July, we received from Mandlam Pepe, is from your request, the urgent intervention of the committee. He's got a grievance in the mine. I think this one is based in Northwest. And then there's this one is unknown. It came through the postnet, but it's reporting about the corruption that is happening at Nexa. So it needs the intervention of the committee. And then the House Chair on the 11th has written us to the committee to deal on the matter on the, to attend the matter of energy crisis. And then there's also a letter from, an email from Ashley Telambe from Northwest, who's also got an issue on the non-compliance of the mine, which the department is also keeping quiet and doesn't do anything about it. This email chair is included on those folders that I sent through because it's mentioning the names of the officials of the department. And also Abra Matebe, ex-mine worker who feels that his right has been compromised. This one is also sent to the Committee on Labor because the speech is coming from the Speaker's office. Same as the lives adversely affected by mining from this person, Wope Elfas. And then we've got a petition from the Solidarity Research Institute, which is on the ATC, to calling on the Assembly to investigate the South African energy crisis. The petition is from Dr. W.J. Boshoff, who is the Member of Parliament who put the petition, Chair. And then there's on the 8th of August, we've got the Malmoth community in KwaZulu-Natal, who's got a concern on the Jindal mine, who wants to mine without consulting the family. And then we've got one from Sitsikwane from Northwest, who's also got a concern on the solar geyser in Ikageng. And then there's one from the South African Human Rights Commission on the recommendation on issue and challenges in relation to unregulated artisanal underground and surface mining. This one came in yesterday, Chair. Makua, again, they wrote to us yesterday where they want to engage the committee on their general concern, except the social audit report, Chair. These are the correspondence that I have on my disposal at the moment, Chair. And the one that you talked about from the House Chair, which we're dealing now on the Glencore issue, which we reported, and then we'll write a report after this. Ari, I'm not sure if there's anything that I'm leaving you can add. Thank you, Chair.
No one covered, Ayanda.
Okay, that's the issue. Honorable members, let me just share with yourselves so that we dispose. We had to and fro engagement with Makua Amoa. But I'm happy to report that subsequent to the meeting we've had, was it Friday last week with them, we managed to find one another. What we actually did was to give them the how Parliament operates, how is the Committee of Parliament constituted, how the committees operate, regular meetings and arrangements and so forth and so forth. Based on that background briefing, we seem to have managed to find one another, because I can say probably the most issue was a complete misunderstanding and a perception about the Committee of Parliament in the same line as far as the executive authority is concerned. So I think we have ironed out all those sticky issues. The point, though, is what I had read at the end, the issue of the social audit. I want to plead with the committee that, if possible, either we find on our program a day, I don't know. Ari, can you put that program back? I would have said that if the committee allows, we allow them to give us their social audit reports, they also at the same time allow them to have a take in the same way we did with other stakeholders, take on the social and labor plan as well as the current crisis of illegal mining, and then any other activity that they think it will be quite important to share with the committee. I know that we have had some rough moments with them, but the truth of the matter is that we're a committee of parliament. We should listen to everyone who wants to share ideas and views that will improve the quality of lives of our people. So can we flag the program? I want to deal with that one first. Am I still in the same meeting?
Yes, sir.
I think Mr. Kotsie's network is struggling. He just left the platform.
Yeah, you are correct, Honorable Maling. I understood.
Okay, so I'm looking for the program.
Do you ask? Even Mr. Carmichael can help us. Can I ask you, Ayanda, and Mr. Ngalo, will it harm? Will it cause any harm if we shift the deliberations with a week from now, with 3 days from where it is?
So, Chair, are you saying that you won't be deliberating next week on Tuesday?
I'm saying, will it cause any harm? I'm asking, I'm not saying.
It will depend to the committee chair. Will just do as instructed.
Will it cause any harm, honorable members, just to put Makua Amoa on the 30th and we inform them now? And then from there, because my worry is that is to do a stop and go when you deal with the legislation. Can I get your views?
Chair, I would concur that they should be slotted in. And my reason for that, Chair, is in recent days, one of them have been more on social media and TV on the basis of their issues that they are flagging out in public. And I think we should give them an audience to cap that.
Okay, boss, if members agree, it only means we shift with a day. That's all.
So, sir, if I get you correct, on the 30th, we are calling
Makua.
Next week, Tuesday, Makua.
Yes.
And then we start with the deliberations on Friday.
Yes.
Okay, sir.
That's what members are. Okay. There is nothing that, but to them, they must do all three at the same time on Tuesday. Mainly, it's their social audit. Then they can have a take on the mining charter as well as the illegal mining matters. But we'll start with the main issue, their social audit. Then can we go to the other correspondence, boss? Now we'll have to deal with correspondence by correspondence. I don't know what to do, honorable members. Some of those things, in my view, They've got more to do with the operations of the department. I hope, is Mr. Mpele here?
Good morning. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, nang I'm actually no the match. Can you put those others? Can I suggest that from where we are sitting, all those notice of appeal, that is Tabangs. Because the one on non-compliance, all those that are more commercial, I deal with commercial issues, transactions. Babumpele, can we send them to your office? All. Then the committee staff will then give a progress report. How long, Ayanda, must we ask you for the progress report?
We can give them 7 days, Chair, to respond, and then we'll report after that.
Okay, it means in the next committee meeting, we'll get an update on all the matters that are commercial, because it's very difficult to, I'll be honest with you, Mr. Mpele, very difficult to see where we are sitting, why a mine would have given someone this work and not this other one. I don't think we do have those powers as a committee to say who must be given work, but let's leave it to your office to see how do you handle some of those things. But some of those things, they point directly into your office. And I think you can account for them. Some of the delays are on the basis of your office, but also are on the basis of the reports or the reactions that are received from your office. We can't deal with them at this platform except when we get responses. Unfortunately, when someone writes to the committee, we can't say that person can't, is wrong. Unfortunately, we have to attend to those. Then there is an issue, if members agree, we must find a slot for, what is that, Ian? From the speaker on the...
The report, sir. The human rights report.
But we dealt with that report, but we can redo it.
Which one, sir?
The human rights report. We did. We even invited the department. The only thing is, I may not recall what was the way forward.
Okay, there are two reports here, Chair, from the ICD, on the high-level panel, and the one that came yesterday on issues on artisanal...
Yeah, artisanal mining, yeah.
Artisanal, yeah. So this one came in yesterday. Maybe we are checking on the other one that Ndokozo was presenting on the high level thing.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yes. So what are you suggesting? How do we handle both of them?
Chair, just on that as well, there was also that AG report on illegal mining, Chair, where they wanted to brief the committee on their report, Chair.
Oh,
the Auditor General, Chair, on illegal mining.
Can we leave those things to myself and yourselves?
Okay, Chair.
To process. It's about processing. I don't think there's a disagreement. All of them, all those, including the high-level panel follow-up, can, if honorable members agree, can we be allowed to come back probably next week and account on how are we going to process those issues, including the one of the AG? Will that be sufficient, Honourable Members?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Honourable Malinga says so. Any, is there a seconder for that?
I second, Chair.
Okay. Oh, we'll come back, Honourable Members, with the updates on the way of handling all those issues. If it means the AG briefing, we will tell you. Okay, I don't think there will be a problem with that. The last thing, Honourable Members, we had then undertaken a visit, which would be my last point. Maybe Ayanda can help us. We are suggesting in principle. I might not be available, but it doesn't mean the committee can stand. We are suggesting that from the weekend, instead of the week, from the weekend together with our sister committee on home affairs and police, we undertake a broader scan of the scourge of illegal mining, especially the violent crimes that take place under illegal mining, with a specific focus in certain provinces. Amongst those is Gauteng, Free State, Mpumalanga, Northwest, and Limpopo, I think. We just need, if Honourable Members agree in principle, that we will not get an approval. We are quite convinced about that. If we are using weekdays, that we start from the weekend of the first, if I'm not
yes, sir, on the third.
From the weekend of the third, we start the process of visiting, just to have community meetings and other type of activities, site visits, where these things are taking place, getting briefing from stakeholders, that is police and so forth. I think Ayanda has worked out a program with regards to that. I'm not sure whether Honourable Members will give us that leeway to work on that and see whether the House Chairperson will approve those visits. That is the issue. Do we get your support on that, Honourable Members?
Yes, please, Chair.
Thank you. Any seconder?
I second, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Is there any other matter, Ayanda?
No.
Ari?
Nothing, Chair.
Privu?
Nothing, Chair.
Okay, Honourable Members, the meeting stands
adjourned.
Yeah, Honourable Members, the meeting stands
adjourned.
Yeah, Honourable Members.
Yes, Chair. Ngixolele ngokuzuma. And greetings to colleagues and everybody.
Congratulations to the new Isilo Samazula, I forgot.
If I'm not mistaken, the national state of disaster was lifted, I think, in April. And as it is, the general public is now back to work, normal physical attendance. And also Parliament from last week is now also back on physical sittings. So I just wanted to check, we as committee, when are we going back to physical sittings? Thank you very much, Chair. Just that question.
Physical sittings are subject to the programming committee, but I can say from where I'm sitting, there is a view that now we should have less virtual meetings and more of physical meetings, alternatively, we will have hybrid meeting like yourself. Your section 194 is now hybrid. So, if I'm not mistaken, they were going to do what do I call this thing? They were going to do a pilot of certain committees. I don't know when they have done that from the programming committee. We may be one of those committees. They won't give us all of us at the same time to have physical meetings, but physical meetings are going to be the norm. I don't know when. I won't lie. I don't know. But the section 194, for instance, is a hybrid. It means M4 or M1. That's where they is sitting. I sit it like Honorable Marshall had made an apology, and Honorable Mylem, they are sitting in that committee as we speak. It's physical. But also you can do virtual. We will I'm sure the committee secretariat will tell us when is it possible. But maybe let's put that you are proposing that as this committee will prefer to be considered in the first batch of those committees that will be having physical sitting. I don't think it's a problem. Can I leave that with the committee section that when the schedule of physical meetings for committees is done, please include the Committee on Mineral Resources and Energy. Is it possible?
Yes, Chair, sorry, just to come in there. The committee, if they want a physical meeting, they can do that, Chair, depending on the venues. There's no schedule, you just apply, you want to have a physical meeting. Like currently today, Peace on Women is physical and Health is physical. So we'll just get the guidance from you when do you want a physical and we'll see the possibilities, Chair. As you might be aware that Parliament, we don't have much venues. So we look at the venues and then we apply to sit physical.
Okay. No. I think the principal says this committee will prefer to have meetings that are physical. I know some of you said Fridays are traveling. Let's say we'll appreciate that all Tuesday meetings be physical. But can we not do it the next week, Honorable Langa, for one reason? I'm sure now those people are ready to make, if I'm correct, Ms. Boss, they'll be prepared to, it's much more easier for them when they do a virtual meeting. But from after the meeting on Tuesday, the staff will consider and look at the available venues and convene physical meetings. I think let's just leave it as such.
Okay, sir.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chair, before you close the meeting, we didn't adopt the program. We just look at the illegal mining.
Oh, is there any more of the program on the, with the amendments made?
Agreed, Chair.
Okay, any seconder?
Seconder, Chair.
Thank you. Any objection? Nothing. We agreed. Let me just extend the word to, I know when we met, I should have started with this. We lost, because some of the people are more of our own staff now. We lost the father to Mrs. Giba, who is the manager at committee sections, and has been mainly with us. I'm also made aware that Nitungubanu Logos are our boss. Minapela, we use this word, OKG. Now we go with those. Yeah, he lost his her father, ne?
Yes, sir.
I think the funeral. Saki, the CFO of Mintech, was also burying his father the last Saturday, as well as who's the guy from Protection Services, Ukai, lost his mother. I'm not sure the funeral, whether is this week or was in the weekend. But all of those, these are people that this committee has worked very closely with them. May their parents and relatives rest in peace. I think it's important just to acknowledge that, so that we don't only enjoy being together in good moments, but also in moments of solidarity, we are with them. It's never easy to lose your flesh and blood. So on that note, honorable members, the meeting, can I be allowed to declare the meeting adjourned until we meet again?
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
Oi, oi, Chair. Oi, oi.
The devil.
Ayan, where has the voice gone?
It's cold in Cape Town. My voice is...
Yeah, cold.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Police sighting.